helping to put on this leadership track today, plus one or two other folks who I think are not here yet. And then we're going to, I'm going to have Barbara. Let's hear it for our volunteer, Barbara. And I'm going to give Barbara the mic once with the head table is done, and she's going to run around and talk to and each one of you is going to have a chance to, I'll give you that. Each one of you is going to have a chance to tell us why you're here and what you hope to get out of this leadership track. So, okay. As I said, I'm Jeff Tom, and I will go down to my right.
Okay.
I think they've got one down there.
Let me see if I can put it. Okay. I'm Lena Dawes. I will be giving one of the presentations this afternoon.
I'm Artis Bazin, and I'll be talking later.
Mitch Pomerantz, and maybe I'll be talking later.
No.
All right. Go ahead. Go ahead and take it around to everybody and give them each one of them a chance to say something.
My name is Michelle.
Michelle what?
Are we live?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Michelle Burnett.
These mics.
You can all hear me, right?
Yeah.
No, you have to do
assisted
listening. Yeah, we are recording probably, so.
Oh, okay. Here we go. My name again, Michelle Burnett, Greater Lakewood Chapter. What I hope to get out of this session is some tidbits in helping my group to succeed as a chapter we're newly forming. And I'm hoping to just pass on to them and be a great influence on them.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christy Crespin. I'm with Active Blind Inland Valleys Chapter, and I would like to get out of this session today basically how to stay involved, how to, I don't necessarily want to be the one who's the president, but I do like doing things kind of behind the scenes. So I believe that it does take leadership skills to be able to do that and not encroach on the leadership.
Great, thank you.
I'm Liv Presley, and I'm from the Fresno chapter, and I'm just here to pick up some tips on leadership and possibly for the future, maybe, to be able to lead my chapter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Anthony Signorello from the Glendale Burbank chapter, and I'm here basically to learn a little bit more about how to be an effective leader, whether it be in the chapter, statewide, or in other situations. Thank you.
Jim Chamberlain, Burbank Glendale Group. Here to just get some advice on how to be a leader in regards of the Burbank Glendale Group and anything else I can do.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Joseph Lopez, and the reason why I'm here, I'm hoping to take some things that I learned from here to our San Diego Braille Club, because that's where I'm a member, even though I live in Santa Barbara, plus near Santa Barbara, there's a place called Goleta, just outside of Santa Barbara. So I'm hoping that what I learned here will help the San Diego Braille Club, and thank you.
And if you could only get to know Sue Grafton and get her to donate about $1 million, we would give you anything you want.
My name is Vicki Parker, and I'm from the Glendale Burbank chapter. I'm also chairperson of the
Committee for Seniors with Vision Loss, and I'm here to just understand more about leadership and maybe take some of the information and use it while I'm working on this particular committee.
Thank you.
My name is Jennifer Holloway, and I'm from the San Francisco chapter, and I'm here to learn more about how to be a leader of our chapter and how to get more members. And I also became elected today as vice president of the students chapter today, so I'm looking forward to becoming a leader and making the membership grow.
Outstanding. And a first timer at our convention here, so way to go, Jennifer.
This is Jason Holloway. I'm also a first timer and member of the San Francisco chapter, and hoping to learn leadership skills and help the CCB be the best consumer organization of the blind in the world.
Great. Thank you.
My sneeze is coming on. Sorry about that. My name is Ruby Edgar, and I'm from the Capital Chapter. And I'm here to take notes as an alternate delegate, and also I'm here to learn everything that I can learn about leadership.
Thank you.
I'm Bonnie Rennie from Orange County, and I'm an old-timer, but there's always more to learn.
Mm-hmm. I'm Bob Rennie from Orange County. Same thing as my wife. She's always learning something new.
Great.
Bob's birthday is the same day as mine. Yeah, he is.
Hi. Hi, my name is Alice McGrath, and I'm from the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. I'm here to learn leadership skills, but I'm also interested in learning how to tap into the resources that we have within CCB and our chapter. I know that we ask people to step up, but sometimes there needs to be ways and vehicles to make that happen. So ideas for helping people to actually stretch and grow and contribute.
Diane Deutsch, I'm from the Greater Bakersfield Council of Blind and the Redwood Empire Council of the Blind chapter. I'm here to do all of the things everyone else is.
There you go.
Maureen Schultz, Bayview chapter, and I'm here to learn.
Hi, my name is Ramona Craig from East LA chapter, and I'm just here to learn more leadership skills and try to support our president.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Charles Navarrete. I'm here to help my East LA chapter become better.
Great.
Hi, my name is Sylvia Reese, and I'm local here in Sacramento. I'm just here to learn about leadership and how to make things work better and communicating.
Yay! Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sandy Nelson from the Solano County Council of the Blind, and I'm trying to learn more on how to delegate and not do everything, and I'm trying to also learn how to be a leader in the workplace.
All right, very good. I have lots of things for you to do. There, that's how to delegate.
I'm Patty Nash. I'm the delegate from Bayview Chapter, and I'm probably old enough that I should be a really good leader, but I like working behind the scenes, but I'm a hard worker, and I do want to impact the necessary things that need to be done in the chapter and help in any way that I can, so I'm here to learn. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Deborah Thompson from the Capital Chapter, and I've done some leadership in the chapter, and I think if I learn a little more here, I can do a better job next time.
Great.
Hello, I'm Pam Metz, and I'm here twofold. One is to learn to set goals effectively, and yes, I have no problem with delegation, but setting goals and for each and every member in my chapter, but also to eventually become more of a leader in this organization myself.
I'm Penny Valdovinos. I'm from the Greater Bakersfield chapter,
And I'm here to learn to be a more effective leader and to be able to pass on the skills to some of the newer members of our organization.
Great.
I'm Diane Phelps from the Solano County chapter, and our chapter is starting to come around. We're getting a few new members who are going to be active, and we're here to learn all ideas that we can, and it doesn't hurt to get ideas wherever you go.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? This is Josie Conklin. I've been with CCB 47 years, and I'm an old-timer, and I'd like to continue learning some leader skills because our chapter is very active. I'm in the capital chapter.
My name is Susan Glass. I'm from the Silicon Valley Council. And I just want to echo Christie's and other comments about there can be behind-the-scenes leadership. I'm a dog person. I think a lot about dog sleds where you have to have your team dogs and your wheel dogs and your shoulder dogs to work, you know, and that's always leading, and I think it's a very inclusive leadership style. So I'm here to learn as much as I can about reaching out, about inclusiveness, and also about helping chapter members make a connection between what we're doing on the local level and what's happening on the state level, helping everybody understand the web and how it all relates, because sometimes I think we get involved on one level, but we're not that sure what's going on up and down the wheel. So I hope I can gain a little of that today.
Great.
And Christy's name's going to be mentioned again because she's the first one that I said, oh, she read my mind, that I'm happy not to to do a lot of work behind the scenes, but I always can learn from being effective, and I think this is a great idea to have this workshop.
There's one more person that I almost missed.
Annette, you want to give your name?
I'm hiding in the back. This is Donna Pomerantz, president for just a few more months of the California Council of the Blind, and I am here to support this leadership learning environment, and I'm looking forward to seeing what comes from this, and I thank each and every one of you for giving of your convention afternoon to come and share. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think there's some common themes and there's some differences too among what you've heard. The commonality, I think, is that we are all here to somehow make this organization better. The differences are that some people enjoy doing it in different ways. Some people have different priorities. Some people clearly seem to show different, they feel they have different skill sets. And you know, there isn't one, quote, great definition of leadership. I've read many over the years, but we all know a good leader when we see him because a good leader produces results. There are, however, certain sets of skills that generally make one a better leader, or the lack thereof makes one perhaps not so good of a leader. And, of course, each organization has its own set of tasks and duties and quirks that make leading within it, different than it would be for other organizations. So today, the first half of our the first half of our presentation will focus generally on some leadership skills, and Lena Dawes is going to facilitate that. And the next half of our program is going to look more specifically at the California Council of the Blind, at both the local and state levels, and in terms of specific leadership tasks that we need, on which we need to focus. So, but what I'd like to do very quickly, if any of them want to at the table, don't know whether Frank and Peter, Frank Welty, Peter Pardini are here yet, but the others are. Do any one of you, before we begin Lena's presentation, want to say a few words of your own, based on what you've heard from the audience in the past few minutes?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Mitch does.
About 25 years ago, almost, I was running the training program for the city of Los Angeles, and just before I went on vacation, my supervisor came to me and she said, "When you come back, you're going to put together an advanced leadership training course for city employees." And that engendered a fair amount of reading on the subject. And I think a couple of things I would say about leadership. There are as many notions about leadership, what makes a good leader, what makes a not-so-good leader, as there are theories about economics. The two things that I do know, as someone who was a supervisor and manager for many years and a leader in this organization, is one, that a good leader, whether he or she leads publicly or behind the scenes, has to be willing to work, because good leaders lead by example. And the second thing a good leader needs to do is to depersonalize things. I have, most of you know me pretty well, and most people have strong opinions one way or the other about me. The thing that has gotten me through good and bad times in ACB is that I don't take any of it personally. There are more personality conflicts in this organization than you can shake several sticks at. And to be honest about it, I know that there are people in this organization who don't particularly like me, and I will be honest and say there are people in this organization I don't particularly like. But you know what? It doesn't make a damn bit of difference, because this isn't about liking or disliking. It's not about anything but getting the work done. And that's the thing that, if you come away with nothing else today from me, it's called keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the long view, regardless of whether you like somebody's politics or you like their personal life, what you know about it. That's not the point of being a member of the California Council of the Blind. We have a job to do as advocates, and it really doesn't matter who you're working with as long as they're working as hard as you are. So that's my two cents for the non.
Anyone else?
No, I think he covered it.
Artist?
No, okay.
The mic's right in front.
Yeah. No, I think Mitch covered what I would have said. The only addition maybe is that leaders need to be able to fit in the role that they're mostly needed. For example, when you might be in one organization and they really need a good president, but there might be another organization you'd serve better in another officer capacity. And I think you have to have the ability to discern what your particular chapter or state organization needs from you, and perhaps you need to look at a different area where you could serve better than the one you might have initially thought you should serve in.
Very good. Lean, anything? No. Okay, I'll only add one small thing, and that is a good leader is determined by the results that he or she gets. If you get results, by definition, you're a good leader, even if you may not fit the definition of a leader at all. So, no matter how you do it, if you put your ego aside and you do whatever it takes to get the results that the organization wants and or needs, then somewhere down the road they're going to say, wow, what a leader that person was. So the next time you think about, maybe I should, push my way and tell these people this is what you're going to do. The next time you think about trying to be potentially too forceful and drive people into doing things they may not want to do, just think about, as Mitch said, the prize. Because if you get the results, they're going to look to you and say, wow, that person really is a leader. And that's all I'm going to say. So I'm now going to turn it over to Lena to begin the facilitation of our first half of this program. And it could require some movement here, but I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. My mouth is almost touching it, so is this good? Okay, good. How many in this room, give me a hand clap, would like to have better communication? Okay. How many think they have great communication now? Okay, that's honest. Thank you. So, great. Well, what we're going to do is going to help everyone communicate even better. And so, what we're going to do, what I want you to do while you're going through this exercise is to think of two people that you have difficulty communicating with or perhaps have a personality conflict with, and think about those people as we're going through the exercise, because just maybe you'll learn how to communicate with those people and have a better experience. So what we're going to do is, there is going to be movement for some, I'm sure. We're going to use only the front four tables, so the two on the left and two on the right. Is there anyone who does not know what a Braille G looks like? Okay, awesome. In that case, I will direct you using the dots of the G to make it simpler to know where to move to if necessary. So we're going to split up into four groups. My rule is that, well, two rules. One, I would like this audience to participate. This is not necessarily like general session. This is completely interactive, and if people do not participate, this workshop dies. Do I have agreement? Clap your hands if you all agree to participate. Yay, good. Okay. That's what I like to hear. All right. And the second is have fun. So we have two criteria by which we split into four separate groups. So the first is if you believe you are more formal or informal. And by this, it doesn't have to just be in the workplace, it's in general. Formal would be, for example, structured, professional perhaps. Maybe not as much emotion, etc., and or at least you don't show it. And informal would be the opposite of that. And then you have dominant or easygoing. So dominant would be, of course, more out in the open, more, you want to be the person that's speaking, that wants to have their way. easygoing would be, you know, go with the flow. Do, you know, whatever works. Okay, yes.
What if you're in between?
Then that's okay. But you want to pick one, and remember that if you pick one, you can always move in the middle if you don't feel like that group is a fit for you. Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, those people who are both formal and dominant will go to dot one of the G. Those who are informal and dominant will go to dot two of the G. Those who are formal and easygoing will go to dot four. And those who are informal and easygoing will go to dot five. If anyone needs assistance, Barbara, will you help people? And also any of the low vision participants, if you wouldn't mind assisting those who are completely blind if they need it. So if you would, yes?
We don't quite understand where you're asking us to go.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you.
And then work, get one group at a time.
Everybody needs to stand up first.
Okay.
Of all.
Yeah. Let's everyone stand.
And are we also participating?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. You're participating wherever you feel like you belong.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Oh, Nina,
guys,
repeat,
hold on.
Repeat them.
Repeat what?
Repeat the...
Okay. Guys, hi. Okay. So formal and dominant would be dot one of the G, which is the front left table.
Left, top left?
Yes. Guys, wait.
Not yet.
Head table, hold on.
Not yet.
Okay. So those who are formal and dominant go to the front left table. Those who are in... Facing the front. So I'm at the front of the room. I'm not using a mic, so you can hear exactly where I'm located.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, okay. Okay. Can everyone go to the center aisle, please?
We'll get you moved into the right tables. We're going to different tables. Raise our hands if they're dominant and formal.
Okay. Okay. Those who feel they're dominant and formal, raise your hand. Okay. Will the volunteer please assist them to the front left table?
Well, that's okay. Raise your hand anyway. If you're dominant and formal.
As always, what direction they're...
Yes, yes. That's okay. I think this will solve it.
Yeah. Okay. Is everyone who is formal and dominant... No. Okay, thank you.
And if we have more than... This will be the toughest part of the whole day.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, once this is done, I'm going to let them know that you guys don't know any of the answers either.
I figured two-thirds of the group would be easygoing and informal.
I'm formal and easygoing.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm formal and dominant.
your formal easygoing, that's where I have to. That's usually informal easygoing.
Formal and dominance are still getting set, so I'll let you
know. Okay.
If it's organization, then I'm formal and dominant. But if the group is, you know, has enough of those people, then
right.
So we need a fifth group, chameleon.
Yeah.
No,
I
actually,
can do that.
No. We're going to discuss that.
Have enough leaders, so you don't have to jump in.
A good leader goes
yeah. Right. Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. How many did we get in that group, by the way?
Six.
That's all right.
Okay. That's okay. So, will the people who are informal and dominant please raise their hands?
Informal and dominant. Hey, dude, get on it.
They will go to the second table behind the formal and dominant. That's correct. Dot two.
Excuse me.
Pam, not surprised. Okay. Are we good on that, or are we still? Okay, are we good on informal and dominant?
We're still getting situated. I'll let you know. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. You've got a room
full of dominant people?
Dominant, informal.
Informal.
Well,
that's not a bad thing.
The emphasis is on informal, I think.
Yeah, well.
Can you repeat the last instruction?
The people who are informal and dominant go to dot two of the G, so behind the.
Or keep your hands up.
Yeah, or keep your hands up, yes. Got it? Great. Okay. Those who are formal and easygoing, go to the, raise your hand. And for the volunteer, that's the front right table. I'm surprised. All right.
I forgot. Do you want me to defend or dominate
table? I want you wherever you belong.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so where you want us to go, wherever?
Yeah. I put you, but you can. It would probably be better if you go wherever you feel like you belong in, so that you can participate just like anyone else.
That's closer.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
What do you think?
Yes. Some groups need leadership, so then I'm the formal dominant.
Right.
But if there's some group that got plenty of leadership, well, then I kind of step back and do more and more.
What is your general, like, how are you at home? Not just in chapters, but in general.
Oh, okay. Kind of know what I want.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yet I'm pretty easy going.
Okay.
I would say down there.
We're supposed to wait.
Well, those are opposites. So formal easy going?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anthony, that does not surprise me at all.
What's that?
Anthony. Formal and easygoing.
Although I probably tend to be more
okay.
Because I usually jump in more.
Either that
even,
or, you know,
but I'm
as long as there's more than as long as there's more than one person in a group, you can pick. No, one more. The last one is informal and easygoing. And that's whoever's left. That's at the dot 5, so behind the formal easygoing.
So second table on the right.
Right, yes. Yes. 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Were you thinking of the letter?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about.
He's really challenged.
Yeah, I was doing.
Nemeth. Okay. Let me know when everyone's. Is everyone seated? Okay. So now, hi guys. The people from the head table, with the exception of myself, are going to join you. They do not know any of this, so they are participating with you. So do not rely on them for answers. They have no idea what I'm about to do exactly. Is everyone set from the head table? No, I mean, is everyone okay? Is everyone seated? All right. So what I need each group to do. Hi, guys. I need each group to pick a scribe, a person who writes. Doesn't matter if it's print or braille, it just needs to be readable by the person who's writing. Okay, does every group have a scribe?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
You don't have a person from the table.
Are they all over?
Yeah, they don't have
one. They have one there. They have one
there. All right, let me ask.
Okay.
They're still deciding?
Does everyone have a scribe?
They're all like, they're trying to decide still.
Okay.
Well, I know.
You don't have an informal and dominant leader.
Okay.
Do they need
a scribe. They don't. That person's not a leader per se, but they need a scribe.
We got one.
Okay, everybody. Okay, we have scribes. Yay. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to give you some questions, and you will have 10 minutes to answer them as a group. And you will answer them through a process of voting, or really however you want, but I recommend voting. So, the first question is, what are your group's greatest likes? Greatest likes. Well, so you just throw something out there. So like I heard over on that side, and I'm not surprised by what group is asking that question.
what group is it for the rest of them?
Formal. That's the formal easygoing group. I will explain later. So, oh, I totally, that's classic. Okay. So, for example, someone might shout out music, and if that meets the consensus of the group, music goes on the list. Anything. Likes. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm asking, going to ask all the questions at one time, so that's why you need a scribe. Okay. There's only going to be 5 or 6, but it's not... Okay. Okay. second question is, what are your group's greatest dislikes?
Oh, Jeff. I love it. This is what we're in store for.
I know. This is why I'm in it.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. I am. Third question. What are your group's greatest strengths? Anyone want to guess at question 4? Good job. Or put a different way, what can your group learn to be more effective? It's the same question, just different wording. Okay, what can your group learn to be more effective? No, that's the same question.
It's the same question.
Areas of challenge, perhaps? Yeah, any or all of those is... Yeah, I was just trying to put a more positive spin on it. Okay, so... So, next question. Yes. Is your group task-oriented or relationship-oriented? And this one will be decided by vote, folks.
Oh my God.
And then we're going to have a little fun. Question 6 is kind of, I guess, well, it's optional, but I'd like you guys to do it. What would be your group's theme song?
Ooh, yay! That's my favorite one.
So, all right, folks, listen up. Listen up. Hey, everybody, you only have 10 minutes. If you don't hear me, you're going to miss when it starts. All right, look. Yes. Okay. Guys, hi, Jeff. So, you have 10 minutes. There might be groups that don't finish. That is okay. Just so we're clear, that is completely okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so you have 10 minutes and talk amongst your group. And your does anyone have any questions before I start time? Oh. Yes. Okay. So here we go. Are you ready? Guys, hi. I'm starting time right now.
Time. Time's up. Time. Ooh. They're still huddled together trying to get the last minute. Let me do it.
Okay. Oh, that's... Hi, guys. Time. Frank. Okay, folks. So now, I have a question. Who wants to go first?
Dot one and two, set it at the same time.
I am so not surprised. Okay, so here's what happened. This is classic, although I think I heard someone at the formal easygoing say they wanted to go first, which is strange. Okay. So here's... Okay, hold on, guys. So first of all, I'm going to say a lot of stuff, and I'm going to have fun with this. Don't take any of it personally. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. Okay? I'm going to have fun, and hopefully you guys will too. So here's what happens. There's one group in this room who thinks they're the ones worthy to go first and wonders why I'm asking this question. And that group is over there at dot one. And dot one is called the controllers. I do not, actually.
Several of them said
it. I know. So, there's another group in here who doesn't know what first means, but they want to get picked. That is dot two. they don't know what they have to do, but they want to be picked. No. Then there's another group who some of you said... Oh, mine is working now. Okay. Some of you said you wanted to go first, but there's probably others in that group who were wondering what going first means and so did not want to say anything. And then that's the dot four group, the... analysts. And then there's one group that said, why do we need to go first? Everyone's going to get to go.
That's a dot five.
Yes, that is the dot five group, and they're the supporters. So we're gonna make the controllers happy and let them go first. So, can we have someone run the mic to the controller scribe, and if you can raise your hand so that they can find you?
Our greatest strength. I mean, our greatest, our like is information. Our dislike is ignorance. Our greatest strength is decisiveness. And our, our weakness is, people skills. and our wait, our theme song now? Or do you have your...
Are you task or relationship
oriented? Oh, we're task oriented. Mm-hmm. And our song is "You Can't Always Get What You Want." And I did it my way.
Okay, I was thinking of "I Did It My Way." right. Whoops.
Can't always get what you want, and I did it my way.
Oh. Okay. So, good job. And notice the way she said it. Notice the quick, this is it, this is what's going on, end of story, way that she said that.
Oh, he took it personally.
Uh-oh, Jeff.
Jeff took it personally.
I know. Leaders are supposed to depersonalize, Jeff. Okay. So other things that the controller group like would be structure and efficiency, yes, and getting to the point. Yes. Their dislikes would be things like wasting time.
Yes.
They're probably the ones that we hear in general session. Yeah.
And they found religion.
Yes, they did. Their strengths, yes, would be things like getting things done, being efficient, being in charge. One of their weaknesses that they did not mention is delegating. Because they think they're the only ones who can do it right. I know.
They own it.
I know. Yep. So, and yes, I would say task-oriented and perfect theme song. So let's give the controllers a hand.
Yes.
And now we're going to go to their opposite, which is diagonal, which is the supporters.
Yes. Dot five.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Okay, supporters.
Okay.
Okay, we're flexible. We like to listen. Mm-hmm. We're open to change.
That's number one.
All right.
Our greatest dislikes. Pushy people. And someone who thinks they're always right.
See a problem?
Our greatest strengths are flexibility, open to change, and listening.
Good. How about weakness?
Our greatest weakness, dealing with conflict.
Hey. What is it, Jason?
Our greatest weaknesses are dealing with conflict and being assertive.
And saying no.
Right. We are relationship oriented.
Yep.
And our song is Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Yay! Perfect! Yes, that's exactly. Exactly it, and definitely learning how to say no. These are the folks that work very hard behind the scenes. A lot of times, they're the people that bring the food and do that kind of thing. They're very
the gophers,
no. No.
The worker bees.
Yes. Okay, so now I'm scared, but let's go over to this analyst group, who only finished, by the way, because they kept talking after time was called.
That's okay. All right, it's okay. We were worth it. All right. So we are formal and easygoing. For our likes, we balanced between the concrete and the great idea abstract because we like music, reading, food, learning, listening. For number two, our greatest dislikes,
confrontation, chaos, intolerance, loud noise, yep. disrespect.
Yep.
For number three, our greatest strengths. First one, inclusiveness. The first thing that happened when this group got together is we said, let's move the chairs so that everybody can hear everybody. So inclusiveness came first, then consensus building, then following procedure, then teamwork, then empathy. Number five, group's greatest weaknesses. We're too cautious. We are too likely to be intimidated and unwilling to question authority, perhaps at times when we should. Mm-hmm. Number five, our groups is whether we were task-oriented or relationship-oriented, we sort of said we had a balance. Some of us said task, some of us said relationship.
How many times did you take that vote?
And then, actually only once. Two people said one thing, two said another. We said, okay, that's it. And then for number six, our theme song, we are family.
I think there's a little bit of infiltration in that group, but from the supporters. Yeah. But I think there's a little bit of infiltration in there from a few supporters. So things you guys would like are things like structure, organization, things you would, you got your dislikes are right on. As far as your strengths, definitely following procedure, also research. You're very good at organization. This group is the people that, you know, some of them will have their shirts, you know, color coded or put, you know, in order by sleeve length, you know, and your books in alphabetical order, that kind of stuff. Yep. Weaknesses would include, you got those pretty good, but they would include procrastination. It doesn't have to, that's what I said, don't take it personally. If it's not you, it's not you. But there's a lot of people in this group who would get something called analysis paralysis. And that's what I mean by procrastination. They will tend to analyze something, overthink something before, you know, for a long time before they start it. And you started to hit on that, I think, with cautious. And the questioning authority, that I thought that was good. This group really doesn't like confrontation or taking a stand. So I thought that was good. True on the, let's get some feedback. Clap, hold, no, I'm not, guys, wait. I'm going to get there, I promise. I'm not going to leave anyone out. Thank you. So, no, I want to see feedback because you guys got a tie. I want to see what the other groups think. So, I'm going to tell you, patience, controllers, you are not at this table. You are over there. So, let me handle this. So here's the deal. If, other than the analyst group, if you think the analyst group is task-oriented, please clap your hands. Okay. If you think the analyst group is relationship-oriented, clap your hands. And there's your feedback. So it sounds like a tie again. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can't decide. That's what's the problem. No. Okay. So let's give the analysts a hand, please. And finally, their opposites would be the promoters group, which is dot two. Would someone give the mic to their scribe?
Okay, we are doing this by recording because we didn't have anybody.
Okay.
So our likes would be more, hold on, we're not time jumping. Our likes are books and music, and we all love to eat. We dislike rigidity and control freaks.
Okay. Well.
And we don't like one, people who don't stop and listen. And we all of us agree that we don't like beating the bush to death. Get to your point. We are willing to listen. These are strengths. This is going to be confusing. We are task and relationship oriented.
Of course you are.
Yeah, we're confused, aren't we? What we want to compromise on. We are more willing to compromise if the point we are compromised is set towards the goal we want to achieve.
Yeah.
See, we're confused.
Yes.
And we are always, and we are flexible. Mm.
Interesting.
Okay, our weakness is that we can be impacted by negativity and we can take it personal. And how we deal with it is one of the problems. Okay, I'm talking too fast on one thing. We tend to internalize things a lot quicker than we should, but we do. We prefer to work more as a team, but we're more than willing to take over if we can't get that team to cooperate.
That sounds like there's some controllers in there.
but we're nicer control freaks. And our favorites and our theme songs would be, and this is funny, accentuate the positive. And what was the other one? And whistle while you work.
All right. Interesting. Okay. So let's... Oh. Ouch. Okay. So, guys, this group is actually the sales force of the planet. Okay. This group is... their likes, they have... they might have included things like adventure, fun, sex. Yeah, see? Yes. Uh-huh. You know, so, okay. you got the likes about right. Your strengths, you are very persuasive and very very good communicators. As far as weaknesses, you don't always do what you say you're going to do. This group is the idea group, but everyone else kind of has to follow through with it. Yes. Yeah. But that group That group really knows how to have fun. They're the party group. Yeah, they are the party. Okay, Daryl said they're the party group. So, right. So, as far as task or relationship oriented, I'm not surprised at all because you guys think you're all things to all people. And theme songs, the ones I was thinking of for things like All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun. Yep, get this party started. Thank you. yeah. So that is the promoters group. Give them a hand. Yes. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about how they work together. So, for example, let's start with the things like what kind of roles in a chapter might the controllers be more suited to? Yes, okay. Yes, president, be good. No, no, maybe not so much. Yeah, depends what committee, though, too. Yeah. Yeah, so president might be good. And keep in mind, this is not to pigeonhole people. You know, because anyone can do any of the offices. They just, because this is your general style, but people can switch over. In fact, the best leaders are the people who stand in the middle. Yes? Can someone give Christy a mic?
Our volunteers.
Okay.
A microphone for Christy.
Okay. Donna.
I see people from my group, from cell one, being in positions such as calling people to tell them about the meetings, making sure the stuff gets on the internet, kind of getting some of that task stuff that we don't want to give to anyone else because it's not going to get done if we don't do it.
So you don't think it's going to get done if we don't do it.
Right, that's what we think. And but it's hard. We should delegate that stuff, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we don't.
Yeah. Perhaps if we work on empowering people, then we could get more people as leaders in the organization. So,
Lena?
Yes?
Hi, this is control table.
Uh-huh.
Controllers.
Yes?
One of the things on the issues on delegating is that we feel, at least I know from doing things, that if it's not done the way we want it done, to be done, it won't get done, so therefore we'll do it because we know what we want.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's exactly.
And I understand that because I understand where that group comes from. But at the same time, if you do everything, it could breed resentment in other members and in other groups, and it's very important to make your members feel valuable and valued. So, you know, it's right. These people can all help you in a lot of ways. You just have to play to strengths. Like, for example, guys, who might be really good at calling people and inviting them to meetings? Supporters. No, members in general. Well, that would be fine too, but supporters would be really good at that because they love talking to people. They love the contact. They're really good at outreach. Yep.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They love talking to people.
But you'd get it done. You'd make the – see, but that group, I think, would make the connections needed to get people to want to come, whereas someone in the controller group might just be like, I want to get to the point. Hi, you want to come to the meeting? No.
Hang up. They don't have a long distance.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just something to think about. Perhaps even a membership committee chair, supporter. Who might be really, really good treasurers? Yep. Yeah.
All right, Jeff.
Daryl. Yeah. Daryl is over here clapping too. He came late and he's an analyst, so he's he's clapping over here too. So yes, the analysts are your like accountants, your people that are very good at math normally. So yeah, they would be really good at that job. Mm. Yeah, they could. Yeah. And what might promoters be really good at, guys? Yeah. Fundraising. Of course. Exactly.
Pam. Mudstruck.
PR. Yep. PR for sure. Marketing. Yeah. Oh yeah. While the supporters donate the drinks. Yes.
That's right.
And the controllers and or analysts sell tickets. So Let's say a chapter is going to plan a picnic, okay? Whose idea is it? That's right. So then the controllers come in and think, you know, this could really help boost morale. It could bring members in. Glad I thought of it. So then we have our analysts who work and work and work to plan the perfect site. They research everything, the details of, the lists, what we need, where we should go, all that stuff. And then who brings the food? Yes. And if you could be a fly on the wall in that room while they're making the food, you'd hear, man, I did this last year. Why am I doing it this year, too? And then you know what you'd hear right after that? I hope they like it. Then who doesn't show up? Yes. Yes, they had the idea. They don't show up because they got a better party. So, to finish off, I'm curious to see what people think where I sit. Yep. Where would I sit in this room?
Give her the mic. Give her the mic.
Okay, I hear...
I think... I'm such a promoter. I think you are 3/4 control.
Okay.
And I think that you're 1/4 analyst.
Okay. That sounds like an analyst answer, actually.
Infiltrators.
Infiltrator.
Lena, we think that you are a 4. Dot 4.
Oh, analyst. Okay. You'd say analyst too? Okay, so I've heard some of all 4, and I...
I'm a dot 5. We think you're a dot 4 or 5.
I thank you for... Yep. Okay. So basically what I've heard is a little bit of all four, which I appreciate it because that's I take that as a compliment and thank you for your feedback.
I had a question.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to identify you as anything.
Okay.
Because you're okay. But I want to know what kind of traits do we look for in order to identify promoters, supporters, controllers, etc.
So a controller is going to basically want to be in control. They're not going to want to delegate. They're going to try to be the boss even if they're not the leader. They're going to want to, you know, they're on a mission. They have a mission and they're going to get it done. They're the people that want to get to the point right now. So then our promoters, these are the people that are really good with things like fundraising, sales, the people that call out from the exhibit tables perhaps, you know, come here, buy this. $1. What? Yeah. that type of thing. They're always talking to someone. And when you say ask them how they are, it's woo, busy. Yeah. Yes. Our analysts are very data driven, very organized, very high attention to detail. They like to think things through before they do them. But they're also not confrontational. And then we have the supporters who are very, you know, warm. They want to know how your weekend was. They want to talk to you about your family, your kids, whatever. Yes, they're very compassionate, caring people. So does that help you at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Yay. Okay. So for the record, I sat in the analyst group when I did this for my first time. But I appreciate that I heard all four because that means that I'm improving, because for a long time I was never even thought of in the promoter group. So I appreciate the feedback, and I hope that everyone enjoyed this presentation and that it helped some people.
But Lena.
So thank you.
Lena. Oh, Lena. Hello.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
This is Mona from East LA. It appears, and this is just my little experimental, that we have chapters that have more supporters that are in the hi, how are you, I want to know how your weekend went, how did your turkey dinner turn out, that kind of stuff. And how do we move them out of the support group to become controllers and analysts and promoters? We need more. We have more, I would say 70-80% to 20% or to 5-5-5.
Well,
and 80.
I hate to tell you this, Mona, but you can't change people. not necessarily. People can change, but you can't change them. And what I would suggest is perhaps to go to them a little more, to go into that vein and ask them and care about how their weekend was and how, you know, their dinner plans, etc. And then, because if you don't do that first, they're going to feel like they're not appreciated and not valued. So then you do that, and then, you know, because that's what they need to feel appreciated. And it's just what's the case. And so, however, to supporters, you can, you know, if you are able, you can, you know, go, you can ask those questions and do that. But you also need to get to the point as well. There is a task that needs to be done. You know, it's a chapter meeting. So at the same time, both groups kind of have to work together and come more toward center, but it has to be that person's choice. No one's going to be able to force them in. So I would say try to go towards them a little bit more so that they feel like you appreciate who they are as people.
This is Christy. Lena, I was wondering what you took your information from. I know you probably have like a exercise or I don't remember what it's called because I have CRS.
Yes.
What's the research from?
Yes. So yes. So I went to what's called Personal Success Institute, and this was a personal development seminar, and they did this exercise there, and it's something that they created, and so I am using it because I thought that it would help all of us to communicate better with other people in our organization.
Lena, this is Pam. My biggest question would be, we have our controllers, we have our idea group promoters, we have the analysts, and we have the supporters. How do we, especially the promoters and the controllers, how do we pull those two groups together to allow the other two groups to do what they need to do? Because for the promoters, yes, we have the ideas, but we're still want to know how we can help the controllers do what they need to do also.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So the controllers, so like I said, both groups need to give a little. Because the promoters tend to not be as serious, which probably drives controllers crazy. it drives analysts crazy too, by the way. So I would say to kind of come, you know, again, to both groups to come in a little. Controllers might want to be a little more open to some fun. I don't know. It is to some people. Yeah. Yes, diplomatic is a good word. Thank you. Diplomacy is always a good thing. Controllers. And I know.
Hey, at least they own it, right?
No worries, Mitch, I know.
They own it.
So yes, basically, in order to help the controllers, the promoters should need to keep their word. Yeah.
That's true.
Because if they yes. Yeah, okay. That's the less diplomatic way to say it, Mitch. Thank you. But yes, that's basically the idea. Do more than just talk. You actually want to get in there and do the work and do exactly what you say you're
action,
going to do.
Yeah.
Yes, put action behind it.
Back where I was. Yeah, okay, it's a little less than I thought.
Okay, here we go.
Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, we're going to... We've got a lot of ground yet to cover, so without any further ado, you know him anyway. I'm going to introduce to be our master of ceremonies for the rest of today, Frank Welty.
Well, I thought that exercise was very helpful because my biggest takeaway in terms of the remainder of this leadership training today, in which we're going to talk more about the nuts and bolts of specific leadership areas in chapters primarily, is that as those of us who are leaders would do well to get better acquainted with each of our members to understand their individual styles in order that we can identify the roles within our chapters in which they are best suited. And to the extent that our membership tends towards one particular style, that might significantly affect the overall strategy we use in terms of moving our work forward within the chapter based on the styles that we have. So the important thing, and there's, we're not going to get through all of the material that we could talk about today just in terms of our time, and I would rather get through half of the material and thoroughly than cover all the material shallowly this time. So I don't want anybody to feel rushed, and we'll get through what we get through. Now, first of all, I think it's extremely important that those, and I think that those of you here would agree with that, that it's extremely important for us to develop new leadership in CCB and to develop the skill sets within our people in our organization so that they can be leaders in the future. First of all, I think that there are a variety of skills that are common to leaders throughout the organization, and I hope that some of the things that we'll do in the future is to do trainings to help spread those skill sets throughout our organization. But what we're going to focus on today is to talk about, first, the responsibilities of some of the key leadership positions in our chapters, and then we're going to talk about some of the responsibilities and skills that are characteristic of statewide leaders. So to work on the first part, we're going to have a panel with myself, Ardis Bazin, and Peter Pardini. So what we're going to do is we're going to start through each position in leadership, we're going to talk about a few things, and we're going to have a dialogue about that. Is that our panelists will weigh in on them, and then we will have some discussion among members of the group to get your insights. So first, let's talk about the responsibilities of president. The first responsibility, of course, of a president, and I'm not saying it's the most important, but it's, I think, the one that's most obvious, is to preside at chapter meetings. And that has several elements. Of course, that involves preparing and following an agenda. I've gradually grown in that, in doing that task, but it really makes a difference in terms of the quality of meetings when there is an agenda, and especially when that agenda is distributed ahead of time to the membership. Also, there's an area of meetings that is very important that usually falls on the president, and that is to handle the rules of order of a meeting. Now, first off, that whole idea can be rather intimidating, especially for those of you that are new to the organization, and maybe you're coming to your first convention, and there's all these people talking about motions and amendments and points of order, and you're thinking, how can I be a leader when I'm not an order geek, you know? But they're important because let me tell you what the real purpose for rules of order is. It's not to have these really formal, arcane, you have to do it this way and only this way, otherwise you're breaking a rule. But the basic function of rules of order is, in a meeting, to give everybody their fair share of attention while still getting something done. And so the whole idea of rules of orders is to balance those two kind of competing needs, for people to have their say and yet for things to get done. So all of the things you talk about, rules of order, circle around that. And the basic unit of order in a meeting is called a motion. In other words, you want to do something, you do it as a motion. And that's why you hear people say, we move to do this or we move to do that. This is just basically saying, let's do this. And then the rules of order sort of help you how you discuss that and then come to a conclusion as to what you're going to do based on that idea. And there are other motions that have purposes. And some motions are to clarify what you want to do, decide what you want to do. Some motions are to address concerns of individuals, like asking questions or pointing out that there's a problem that people aren't thinking about, things like that. And all of these confusing motions actually have different priorities. Like, there are some things that are more important to do because they're urgent, like if you're having a discussion of some tasks, you know, you're having a discussion of planning a party, say, and somebody gets an urgent phone call and they have to leave. That takes letting the chair know that you've got this person apologizes, but they have to leave, is more important than somebody answering that question that was just asked about what kind of salad we're going to bring to the party. So that's why you have this whole set of motions. And the Bible on all of these rules for running a meeting and addressing all these competing interests is known as Robert's Rules of Order. It's a big, thick, scary, boring book, which I actually believe everybody should read at least once in their lifetime. The good news is that while I said everybody should read it, I do not think everybody should remember it. But the main thing is, first off, it's widely available. I can tell you that for those of you that have NLS Bard, they've got it. I know that they've had it in the past on Learning Ally. I would assume they have it on Bookshare. The main thing to do is go out and get the most recent accessible edition you can get your hands on, and let that be your guide. And read it once. And what are you trying to do when you read it? You're not trying to memorize what all of these motions are, what all their priorities. You're not trying to become a walking rules encyclopedia. The main thing that you want to take away from Robert's Rules of Order when you read it is, what do things mean? What are the definitions? Because if you know what these different motions and rules are for, then all of the priorities, when they're used, how they're used, is just common sense. And so the bottom line is that really, once you get past the definitions within Robert's Rules of Order, it's all common sense, which means you don't have to be a genius. You just have to understand what they're talking about. So, and rules of order can be flexible. For example, if you've got 100 people in a general session, you've got to follow rules of order. You're going to have chaos. But if you've got 15 people in a chapter and you all know each other and you all know each other's quirks, you've got a lot of leeway. You know, you can kind of bounce things around and be a little less formal. And where the chair of a meeting, the president, comes into is that the president, as being the chair of the meeting, is kind of the ringmaster. You're the ones that the one that has the responsibility of keeping the meeting going and keeping things moving while still being fair. But that also gives you power. Sometimes I think people are afraid to run meetings because they're intimidated, and they don't realize that if you're the chair of the meeting, you do have the authority to say no. You do have the authority to say, wait a minute, we need to do this first. And so when you're in an organization that uses rules of order, you have backup. Now, the third thing that comes into presiding is that you know, learning some tips for keeping, you know, for actually putting rules into practice. And I want to share just a few tips that I have, and then I'm going to let Artis and Peter weigh in with some thoughts that they have about ways to run and preside at meetings. So the first tip, of course, is, like I said, have that confidence to know that because you're in charge, you have the ability to be the leader. You know, like, you get, you know, oftentimes running a meeting is like herding cats. But here's the good news is you're the one holding the leash. So keep that in mind. That doesn't mean you have to be domineering, but it means that often what I've found is in groups where the meetings are chaos is because the people don't feel that the leader knows which way to go. But if you're letting their group know that you know where you're going, even the cats will pretty much fall in line. Now, I think the second thing is to be practical, just realizing, you know, that as long as you're following the principles underlying a rule, then if you didn't do anything according to Hoyle, but you followed the principle, you know, like that you follow that principle of getting business done while still giving everybody their fair shake, then I think you're doing all right. And And so artists and Peter, if you want to add anything to that about thoughts you have about advice for people who have the responsibility to lead a meeting or to preside over a meeting.
One of the responsibilities of the president, too, is to make sure that you help the chapter develop a vision for where you want to go. If you don't have someone that can bring the group back to what the reason is for the group and take it back to, you know, the reason for it being, sometimes you can lose focus and you get on all these little side discussions and so forth during a meeting. So you need to bring it back to what you want to accomplish at that meeting and make sure that that's moving along.
Really needs to happen is that basically after you have the present the minutes, have the treasurer's report, it's important to take care of the important matters in the meeting early on so that you don't run out of time before, and then you can get to the lesser important things.
And that's very powerful. And I
mean, you really need to be watchful of your agenda to cover the important items first.
Yes, and that's. I just want to add one thing to that, Peter, is that one thing that I've learned too is that when you put together an agenda, of course, putting together an agenda helps you prioritize things. But also, if you put down times on your agenda for when things happen, it does two things. First off, those aren't set in stone. You know, some things need to be drawn out. But by knowing your times, you're able to adjust your discussions as you're going through the meeting and keep yourself on task so that you know that you've got how much you've got left to do, and you can make sure that you move things along when they need to so that you don't get bogged down. And it also gives other people an idea based on the amount of time that are allocated, how much priority there is for things. That helps a lot. So for you out there, I don't think we're in a position, are we, to do a roving microphone, and I don't want to slow us down. But if you'd like to share some thoughts you've had from any experiences you've had that you'd like to share with the group about things you've learned that help you run meetings or particular problems that you find are really troubling you about how you handle meetings, feel free to just ask for attention and we'll...
Take like three.
Yeah, so... Anyone has ideas or questions?
This is Susan Glass, and yes, Susan. When I was teaching, I was chair of our English department, and I learned something from the previous chair that was enormously valuable, which was when we had an agenda and we had a certain amount of time for things, if a discussion was running over, I could say, and I didn't think of this, she taught me this, if I could say, okay, we have reached the allotted time limit for this discussion. Does the group want to continue it, and for how long? And people could then vote on, do we want another 3 minutes on this, 4 minutes? And you wouldn't do that indefinitely, but if you did that once or twice, it helped people stay on task and stay focused.
Yes, and also, as the chair, you're also in the position where that might be a point where you could ask people if they want to consider doing something like referring that item to a committee to do some more work on it, or putting it on next meeting's agenda or something, so you could give them some options. And related to that, when I talk about rules, one of the powers that I think you have as a chair that I, at least in my style, is that when I get a sense of where a group is trying to go, if I see they're sort of floundering and getting there, you know, like they, you know, that, and I will suggest, for example, if I see that people are arguing about a point, not really coming to a consensus, I will suggest, do you think maybe it would be appropriate for a motion to defer this to a committee? Or I will help people sort of frame a motion based on where I hear the discussion going. And I think that it's, at least from my style, as a chair, I think I'm also a facilitator. Other questions, comments? Okay, well, let's move on to the next aspect for big responsibility for presidents is appointing and overseeing committees. And I think the biggest thing there is that, well, two big things. I think that in many groups that I've seen, there's really not a good appreciation of the purpose of committees. And the important thing is the name itself, Committee. That is to say, a committee is a group or individuals to whom something has been committed. Now, sometimes we don't understand the word commit, but the classic explanation is, what's the difference between a promise and a commitment? Well, the famous thing there is look at your ham and eggs breakfast. In the case of the eggs, the chicken made a promise. In the case of the egg, in the case of the ham, the pig made a commitment. A commitment is something where basically either you make a commit to do something, and that means you will get it done no matter what, or it means you've turned it over to somebody and then you let go. You've seen how many times people will set up a committee, but then everybody else in the chapter wants to micromanage. I think, and sometimes that can be the president doing the micromanagement. But anyway, I think the important thing, and this is a great secret of organizational power, is that if we all work to realize that the purpose of a committee is it's group to whom you actually commit a task, that means, to the extent that you have the ability to do so as a leader, is try to build a culture in your chapter in which committees are really, it's recognized that when you do turn something over to a committee, that you're really going to let them do it. And unless you see that committee is going full speed 90 miles an hour towards the edge of a cliff, let them do it their way. You know, like if you've got your annual banquet, and you have your annual banquet committee, let the people on that banquet committee plan it. If you don't need to have long discussions at your chapter meetings every month picking out the color of the tablecloths. Believe me, I've seen it, you know, and we all have. Let the committees do what they're committed to, and as long as they're not, you know, starting World War III, honor that. You know, honor what they're doing and let them do it their way unless they're really, really messing up. And if they make a few mistakes, well, that's how people learn and the chapter will survive. It's okay. The second thing is, I think, using the lessons that we just learned in this last hour about the different styles that people have, and do your best to match styles of people to the requirements of the committee. You know, like your budget committee, you probably want your analytical guys on the budget committee, right? Yeah. And, you know, your PR committee, probably want to get those promoters out there, right? But, you know, there are committees like your banquet planning committee. That's where you probably want all your worker bees, right? You know, people that are going to go in there and do it and get the jobs done. So that's, I think, a key responsibility of a president is knowing your people. Getting them to the committee that allows them to use their strength, and then backing up the committee so that the committee knows it's empowered to do what it does best. Artis and Peter, would you like to make any additional comments about committees and the role of the president in organizing committees?
I think one mistake I know I've done as president sometimes is I ask for volunteers to be on committees. And I've found that doesn't necessarily work the best, because sometimes you get inappropriate people that volunteer to be on the committee, but you don't get people that, you know, might be really serve in that role. So I think it's fine to ask people who want to volunteer to help your chapter, but maybe don't. You know, just have them say, well, hey, if you'd like to help our chapter more, would you come to me and maybe we can discuss, you know, what committee you might want to work best on? Because I think that might be a better way to do it than just ask, well, okay, who wants to be on the fundraising committee? Because I've found that that doesn't work.
Excuse me.
Yes. Is that Alice?
And I think to actually add to that is, I think it also needs to be a balance, because I think sometimes we as leaders may think that someone is inappropriate or appropriate for a given committee, or we may be more comfortable with that person because we may know that person more, You know, I think sometimes it's really asking people, what do you consider to be your strengths, and then listen to what their strengths are, and then based upon that, make some suggestions, and maybe, you know, occasionally make a mistake. You know, maybe they shouldn't be in that committee, but I think all chapters, and if I can put myself out there. I think CCB as an organization, I think that there are a lot of folks that are hidden gems, and how we can actually tap into those gems. You may not even know them. They may be sitting in the audience, and you may not know them. And if there's a way that we can actually tap into those gems, because they may not be volunteering, or they may volunteer, or I don't want to ramble, and I'm starting to. But I guess I'm just saying is make the pool open enough so that everyone gets to swim.
By all means, yes. Who is that?
I know you. This is Sandy, Sandy Nelson from the Solano.
Hi, Sandy.
Group.
Go ahead.
Hi. My or our problem is that it's the same person or persons on the committees. Nobody wants to volunteer for committees. Mm-hmm. And being in the supporter group, people will, I or the people, all of us that are in the supporting group, we will go ahead and do it because no one will do it. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. the problem. And no one will say, well, so-and-so, can you take that up for me and let's work on that? I guess we have to push and just say, let's pick someone. And I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to make people more involved when they seem to not want to be.
Well, that's important. And before I move on from there, does anyone here in the room who has, is there somebody who's perhaps found some tricks or some techniques for addressing that particular problem? Because that is a universal problem. In fact, it's so universal that there's something known as the 80-20 rule that you might have heard of, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's all but regarded as a natural law, you know. So it's a universal problem, and maybe some of you can have some ideas that you've found help with that. And I'll just share one thought. It's not a short-term fix, but I think it's might be a long-term fix. And I think part of that is that sometimes in some groups, honestly, there's a very critical attitude. And sometimes I think the reason it's hard to get people to do things is not because, you know, they'll put on the facade that they don't care, or they'll make themselves act like they're lazy or something, but the truth of the matter is they don't want to get their heads blown off.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so I think that in the long term, part of the solution to getting more people involved is cultivating a culture where it's not okay to bite somebody's head off if they make a mistake. To let people know that they can try something out. If they don't get it quite right, it's okay. You know, if somebody planned the party and the pizza guy showed up a half an hour late, it's okay. You know, we learned, fine. Now we know that we need to call the pizza guy 45 minutes earlier. It's okay. We learned, that's all. You know, it doesn't mean you were incompetent. You know.
Frank, this is Pam. One of the things I do, I mean, we have our annual fundraiser in October. And one of the things I do at the beginning of the year
and I term out in November, is I always ask, what would you like to see the chapter do this year? And I want an answer from everybody in the room, because number one, I don't want anyone to feel like they're left out on what we're going to do as a chapter. And number two, I want ideas from everyone in the room. And I usually get a pretty good response on what they would like to do. But the other thing is, I don't want, and I know I feel this way sometimes in this organization, when I'm, especially at conventions, is feel intimidated by people who are sitting making all the decisions. And it's hard, even for me, to say, okay, I'm feeling intimidated. Can you guys answer a question for me? Can you help me fix the problem? What can I do to fix that problem? How do I? What do I do to get more involved? And those are the things that I want to try to take back to my own chapter, because I want them to understand that we are a whole group of people, not just the board of directors, not just the president, not just the officers.
Now, I'm going to, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip ahead a bit, because there are two things that I want to make sure we, out of the many that are still in the outline, that I want to make sure we cover before we get out of here for this particular session. And the first one is that there are some things for which every chapter is responsible to the state, something, particularly various reports that every chapter is responsible, and certain deadlines that need to be met, that every chapter needs to make sure that they're in compliance with CCB. And Peter, would you like to speak to that?
Yes, I will, Frank. Basically, starting with our first deadline for the calendar year is our new and improved, basically February 15th. Where basically the credentials report is due, and the chapters need to submit their rosters, which includes a complete list of all the members in their chapter with their names, address, telephone numbers, email addresses, their format of choice for the BC, and if they're a home, if the reporting chapter is a home chapter or not. And also if they're life members. This is very important so that we can get our credentials, so that we can report this information over to ACB by the March 15th deadline. The second item is the credentials report, the credentials information, which basically includes the chapter's name, the president, the delegate and alternate to the California Council of the Blind Convention, the person appointed to the nominating committee, and the number of members in their chapter. It's also important that chapters, along with their membership list, submit a check, their dues check, by the February 15th deadline. The next important date would be, it needs to be done no later than December 31st of the calendar year, and that would be their fundraising report. Normally, the office sends out a request December 1st asking for chapters to identify the fundraising activities they provided during the calendar year, if they sold any tangible products, the amount of tangible products that they sold, and when they purchased the items for the fundraising, if they paid sales taxes or not, and the amount of sales taxes that they paid. These are the three basic reports that are due. And another thing is, also they need to provide, when they have their officer information sheets, when they have elections, they need to provide current names, addresses, contact information for their chapter officers, so that the office, if there's a question regarding things that they need to take care of, the office knows who to contact. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
Oh, I'd like to add a couple of things.
Yes,
also, on that officer information sheet, it asks for a request that the president and vice president be put on, like, the president's list, a membership person on the membership email list. And if the president and vice president don't have email and can't be put on that list, well, then you have to designate another person. And the other thing is you have to make sure you get the information sent in, like if you need checks sent to your chapter, if it's not to the treasurer, the office needs to know that. Officer information sheet needs to be fully filled out. And if it's not fully filled out, then they cannot be seated at the convention. We need to have all that information. There's a reason why all that information is requested. There's a reason we added that all to the Constitution last year, because there were too many chapters that were not submitting a full officer information sheet. And it's really vital for our organization. We put that information on the website so that people can contact your chapter. And if you don't have contact information where someone moves to the state and they want to go to your chapter, they can't visit your chapter if we don't have updated information. And that also includes where your chapter meets, so what time it meets, etc. So it's very, very important to have all of that updated in a timely manner whenever any change is made.
In addition to those documents that are required that you submit to the CCB office, there's one document that I would strongly recommend that you submit to the CCB office, and that would be the latest version of your chapter constitution and bylaws. Because sometimes there are times when CCB leadership needs to be able to review that for certain various reasons, but also it's such an important document, and that it's good to have that saved somewhere other than with members of your chapter. Because let's say that you have your constitution and bylaws chair, and they've been the constitution and bylaw chair for 20 years, and then they suddenly have an accident and they pass away, and nobody knows where the copy of the constitution is, and somebody digs up a 1976 copy that they have lying around in the drawer somewhere, you know. So it's really important, and I think useful, that whenever your chapter makes some updates to your constitution and bylaws, go ahead and email or mail a copy to the office at CCB, so that if you ever find that you need to find a fresh copy of your latest version of your constitution, you can get it when you need it. The last thing that I want to particularly cover today, and it's something that, again, we have a whole outline of other things that we would cover if we had more hours today, and that is that the requirements for state officers and leaders at the state level here in CCB are similar in many ways to those that we have in the local chapters, but there are some key differences. And we've asked Mitch Pomerantz specifically to touch on what are some key differences between what is required for a local chapter leader versus what's required for a state or even national leader, and what are some particular characteristics that are important in statewide leaders here in CCB.
Thanks, Frank. There is an axiom in government, and I think in business, that applies here. First of all, for those who don't know, I was with the City of Los Angeles for 34 years, and I started at the entry level, and by the time I retired at the end of 2008, I was essentially number two in our department. It was a small department, but nonetheless, I was considered management. But there's an old axiom that the further up in an organization or a business or a not-for-profit organization, whatever, you move, the broader your perspective has to be. Once you move from the local chapter to the state, you have to begin to think more globally than you need to as a chapter officer, because all of a sudden you are now responsible not just for the 15 or 20 or 40 members of your local chapter, but you are responsible for an organization of over 1,000 members. And you really do need to adjust your perspective. One of the bugaboos that I have heard for the 42 years that I have been a member of this organization has been that people suffer from what we call localitis. You've heard the term before. You, when you are a member or an officer of your chapter, the only concern you need to have is with your chapter, and there is a mindset that says it's us versus them. You know, it's my chapter. It's my treasury. It's my time. As opposed to those guys in the state or those leaders in the national organization. That is as deadly to an organization like the California Council of the Blind as cancer is to the human body. It will kill. So if you are thinking about moving into statewide office or even ultimately into national office in ACB or in your local Lions Club or Rotary, the further up you go, the broader your perspective has to be, because you are now assuming responsibility for a lot more people and a lot more issues. When I was president of ACB, one of the things that I tried very hard to do was to help facilitate folks on the state level who had some expertise on committees at the state level to move into positions of more responsibility serving on national committees. And probably 90% of the time the folks, I think, rose to the challenge. I think 10% of the time they didn't. But what you really need to think about and to consider, if in fact you want to take a position on the state level, and I hope a lot of you here will think about it, is that you have to put the mindset aside that the most important thing is my local chapter, my local group, because the only way that this organization can survive is by working together toward a united goal. No, we're not the federation where you are dictated to from the top, where everybody has to think alike and act alike. But unless we have some unified spirit, some unified goal, unless we put aside that notion of us versus them, then we will succumb, just like a body will succumb to cancer, because that localitis, that notion that my chapter or my area of California is the most important, is just as deadly. I think, though, that we need to also keep in mind that we do have an opportunity in this organization as leaders to be individuals. But we also need to you know, have that idea in context. And the context is we are one organization. We don't have to think the way the president does or the board does. But and we've been able to I think, demonstrate our individuality and our differences of opinion. You know, people have heard this till they're sick of it, but we do, we can agree to disagree in CCB and ACB. But nonetheless, if we don't share a similar notion of what this organization should be, then we're lost. So I think that's the message, Frank, that I want to bring forward. We really have to, as we move up in an organization, and it isn't just this organization. I just got elected to my local Lions Club board, and I'm gonna have to think more broadly about what our Lions Club does and what Lions International does. But as you move up in an organization, your perspective really has to broaden, just as your responsibilities as leaders will broaden. Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch. We're getting close to the end of our hour here. Now, if you feel like we haven't covered a lot of ground, it's because we haven't. Because in this hour, I'd say we covered about a third of the topics that were on the outline that we were hoping we could cover in this hour today. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is that this is only the first of these kind of sessions that we plan to do. Just as, you know, we've heard in recent years about how important fundraising is to the continued success of CCB, it's just as important that we develop leaders throughout this organization. And so this is not just a one-time thing we're doing here. So you can expect that more ideas will be shared, more trainings will happen, not only here at conventions, but I think that you'll see conference calls that will involve that. I think you'll see online resources to give you more support as leaders in your local and state organizations. And the last thing I want to do in these last 5 minutes is I'd like to hear suggestions for particularly high importance topics that you would like to see in the near future in leadership trainings made available to membership here at CCB. Or if you're having a little trouble,
they're analyzing.
If you're having a little trouble getting your head around what I just asked you to do, just go from your gut and say, what is something that I really wish I knew how to handle better?
I have the microphone at the moment. This is Bonnie, and my question, I don't know if it's exactly on what you said, considering in our one convention, all the stuff we've talked about, some ways we can work on overcoming barriers to working regionally together. Let's say, well, my own bias, if we put on a technology seminar regionally or a advocacy seminar, and we've had trouble in the past with it, how can we break down some of the elements to start somewhere, try something in a different way or whatever, or examine why isn't it working?
I think that is an excellent topic for a more that in of itself is very much worth a full treatment, and we will keep that in mind as a topic to be covered in the future. Other thoughts from folks about things that you're particularly concerned about seeing covered and seeing training for?
This is Diane Deutsch. I don't have any ideas for that, but I want to thank Lena. Without a doubt, that is the best workshop I have been to in about 15 years.
Thank you very much. And that was really fun, too.
Hi, this is Ruby Edgar from Sacramento.
Yes.
And I like to, because a lot of times, you know, we serve on committees, but we really don't know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I wish they had actually, like, some seminars on, like, how to fundraise, really, and be successful.
Absolutely.
How to produce the results that you want to get to be successful.
Uh-huh.
How to be, you know, the other committees that we have, scholarship committees, how to write grants, how to write proposals, how to, you know, really basic skills to teach people how to do things that they can do and be successful at it.
Exactly. Yes, and you're right. And for every committee you could talk about, that is worthy of a good, solid seminar right there. And one thing I hope we can do going forward, and I've had some folks I've been talking about this weekend about this, is that at some point I'd like us to be able to build sets of tools for all of those kinds of things, like find a place where if you became the fundraising committee chair, wouldn't it be nice if there was like a fundraiser's cookbook? You could look up recipes for doing successful fundraisers, or a PR cookbook, you know, like finding recipes for really great, you know, with examples and everything of really great press releases or what. All along, all of that good stuff we could use, and I hope we'll work towards developing those kinds of cookbooks in this organization.
Frank?
And training seminars and all of that. Another question, comment.
Frank,
yes.
Could I just pitch some of the documents that are out there?
Yes.
I wrote a series of documents for affiliate leaders, president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and those documents have lists of committees and the descriptions of what those typical committees do. And I also wrote a book, especially for California. It's a president's manual, but it's more than just a president's manual because it considers all the duties of all the officers. It's just called the president's manual because president is, you know, in charge of making sure that everything happens, but it outlines the duties for all officers. And if anyone wants any of those documents, I'd be happy to share them with you. I can send you attachments, and I'm planning on sending Vita copies of all of those, so those will go on the website. I just haven't done it yet. There's also a document called Successful Meetings that the ACB membership committee put together that outlines a good typical agenda and how to have a successful meeting. And it has all the areas of the agenda with, you know, an outline on that too. So, and the ACB membership committee has lots of documents on lots of different topics too. So you can check out the ACB website, and that will be being updated with more documents as well. So keep that in mind. If there's any particular area you particularly like information on, I'd be happy to share it with you. And you can also get on the membership committee, I mean, not committee list, but the membership list. There's an email list, and we share documents on there, and I'm proposing to share more documents because we really haven't shared as many as we should be sharing. And if your chapter isn't on that membership list, make sure you have someone designated on your officer information list to be on that, and make sure they actually check the email, because we don't hear from very many people. So if that person isn't bringing forward stuff to your chapter, make sure that you remind them to do that. Thanks.
Very good. And artists, since I'm guessing that there are a lot of people that are thinking they're going to be emailing you as soon as they get home tomorrow night, what is the best way for people to contact you?
Okay, my email is abazyn@bazyncommunications.com. And if you look in the Blind Californian, all of the board members have emails through that, and that's just, I believe it's the format is the first name dot last name at ccbnet.org. So you can find it on the Blind Californian as well. And my, I don't know, are there our phone numbers on there? Our phone numbers may be on there too. And
some of them, I think.
Oh, okay. If they're not, I'm listed. I'm listed, so you can always call information. So.
This is Christy Crespin.
Yes, Crispy. Christy.
I would like to thank you for considering doing these tracks. I think this is an excellent, excellent idea. I can think of so many different things that we could do, a technology track, a legislative track, and even in terms of maybe doing 2 days of tracks, because it makes so much sense. I think what we did today, we could not have done in a general session, and it was invaluable. So I'd like to thank Forward Moving, Forward Thinking, getting us to be able to provide continuing education units to various organizations through, rehabilitation, through social work, through psychology, whatever, for those professionals that could utilize those hours would be invaluable. And I just really appreciate that we really are moving in a different direction, in a forward direction, because we need to move. I'm 61 years old. I'm not going to be here forever. I've been in the CCB since 1971, and I know that a lot of people are older than me here, so we got to move our younger folks in behind us to continue getting this work done, or we're going to do a lot of backsliding. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for saying that, and I think it would be I'm going to see if I make a few people mad here. Well, not the people here, I think, but since this is the first time we've done these tracks, I would just like to get by hand claps. How many of you would like to see these tracks continue? And how many would like to go back to general sessions on a Saturday afternoon? There you go. Well, I think that message will be heard. So thank you very much, and thank you all for coming. And Jeff, I've been hogging this mic. Would you like to have any final comments
here? No, you've done a great job.
Well, we hear enough.
And I want to thank the people on the panel here: Jeff, Tom, Lena Dawes, Artis Bazin, and Mitch Pomerantz and Peter Pardini for sharing. These are all people with a lot of leadership experience, and I hope that we've helped you with generate some great ideas for you that you can take back to your chapters, and we're going to try to do more of that in the future. Thank you all for attending.